Hello and welcome to the Toddcast. Cruising along back to the homeland once again from Brother Eric's. Lots of time on my hands. Figured, hey, why not do some podcasting? So, keeping things flowing. Recently, over the holidays, got to spend a lot of time with the family, many of whom are also listeners, and one of the things that was mentioned as a potential topic that I find interesting and worthy of some small amount of discussion is places that... places I've lived, and specifically the places I've lived and the state of said homes at present, in that there is a, I guess you might call it disturbing trend, in that most of the places where I've lived are no longer in existence. Frankly, there are a lot of places that I have lived and or have spent considerable amounts of time, i.e. schools, that no longer exist on this earth. And, you know, that's I think, not a common situation for most folks. I think it's a little bit interesting, and figuring that maybe you will also. Figured we could go ahead and do a quick segment on that. Little known fact that I honestly can't remember if I've brought up, on the cast before or not. I've spent most of my life, in the state of Ohio. I consider myself to be, an Ohio boy. Like I said, grew up, spent most of my years growing up in Ohio. You know, went away for the Navy, spent nearly a decade in Florida, but the rest of it has all been spent, you know, in the state of Ohio, in one place or another in the state. Like I said, little known fact, technically, I am a West Virginian. The hospital I was delivered in is in Wheeling, West Virginia. Both of my parents hail from West Virginia. And it wasn't until I was probably, I want to say, 4 or 5 that we moved to Ohio. And that's kind of where we stayed, you know, with the exception of aforementioned naval service in Florida living situation. Which is why I consider myself an Ohio guy. Like, I have very few memories of the time while I lived in West Virginia. But technically, that's the case. And so, therefore, we'll start our journey of, domestic destruction, in Wheeling. Specifically, the Wheeling Island, which is an island in the Ohio River. Shockingly enough, adjacent to Wheeling, and is considered to be part of Wheeling. As I understand it, there were actually 2 different places that we lived, on Wheeling Island while I was a youngster. The first I don't remember at all, couldn't tell you anything about. And so it may or may not still be in existence, and or have never been destroyed. I have reason to believe that it's probably been ruined at least once, but may still, you know, exist, may have been fixed up, as that is the case with the second place where we lived. Again, on the island, I'm not going to give the address because that just seems unnecessary, but I do have memories of that house. Like I said, I was a very, very small child, but that is where my earliest memories, as a wee child come from. It's the house where I, shaved with Noxzema. It's a story perhaps we'll get to later. It's the story, it's the place where I first set the carpet on fire. Again, perhaps a story for another time, not relevant to this one. But I remember it, as a tiny child. Fairly good memories of it. Like I said, there are possibly a few stories to tell from that one. But situated as it is on Wheeling Island, there have been several instances where, for one reason or another, the Ohio River, the river levels have raised, and there has been flooding. I know this happened at least once while we were living there, because I remember we had to take all of the things from the basement and move them up to the second floor of the house, because of a flood. And I know that in years since, it has flooded, pretty severely since. Within, I'd say, the last decade or so, basically when I came back, to the valley, from living in Florida, I went down, the street in question, to the address that I remember, and there is a house there. Now, do I remember enough details of the house to say if it is in fact the same house that has been restored from the flooding, or if it had been leveled and they just built another house in that, you know, lot, and therefore it has the same, you know, street number? I couldn't tell you. But I can say that whatever house it was that, you know, I was living in as a youth, it has, on at least one or two occasions, been flooded, and probably, you know, if it wasn't completely razed and rebuilt from scratch, would have needed extensive repair stuff. The next house, when we moved to Ohio, was in a location called Pleasant Grove, which is a fun, happy sort of a name for a place. It had a Dillonvale address, but was technically part of the Martins Ferry public school systems. As far as school districts were concerned, it was in a weird sort of mishmash, sort of an area. It was out in the sticks. It was out in the country, along Route 250. Very nice house. Like I said, we were there, from before I was in kindergarten until, I want to say, the summer or so between my 5th and 6th grade years, we lived out there. A lot of good memories of my youth took place in that house. I could tell stories of the neighbors who lived right next door to us. There was a Methodist preacher and his wife and child. And the various fun times and disagreements that were had between our families, and specifically between myself and the young lad who lived there. I had a neighbor across the street who I was quite good friends with and fond of, Bruce. I got to hang out again with later in high school and had good times with. It was a good place to grow up. Like I said, it was out in the sticks. We had a backyard. There were all kinds of woods and stuff to run around and explore. And just good times. And I'm sure that will eventually come up in some other stories. But to keep to the plot of this particular episode, like I said, it was I can't remember the year, I'm sure I could do the math, but it was, between my 5th and 6th grade, in school that summer, we moved out, without putting too fine a point on it, there were some financial hardships that, required that we, you know, we move along, which we then moved to a house in Yorkville, Ohio, which is just up Route 7 to the north from Martins Ferry. right across the county line as you go from Belmont to Jefferson. In a home that was, strangely enough, the former home of one of my other friends that I knew from church, their family, our families were quite close. And when they were moving out of that house, we moved into it. Once we moved out of the house in Pleasant Grove, the house stood empty for a long time. Like no one else bought it. And as I understand it, sitting empty for a long period of time. I don't know if the groundwater swelled and flooded the basement, but then the moisture crept up into the structure, and like the walls got all moldy. But eventually, it came to be, you know, sort of uninhabitable. And I believe one of our neighbors ended up purchasing the property and just leveling the house. I don't know what stands there now, if anything. For no good reason, I keep thinking that it would be a neat idea to drive up there and take a look. But as it is somewhat remote and not really on its way to anything else, there's not really been a good reason for me to go and explore and look into that. So I couldn't tell you what's there, but I do know that the house, you know, I grew up in was at one point leveled. Whether they've rebuilt or not is, you know, secondary. But that's, you know, house number two that I remember living in that I know was, you know, wrecked. We lived in Yorkville for about a year and a half before we moved into Martins Ferry proper, into the city itself. That the Yorkville house was nice. I enjoyed it. It was kind of one of those houses that was sort of built almost like into the side of a hill. If you're not familiar with the Ohio Valley, it is a valley in the foothills of the Appalachians. And so there's a lot of, you know, hills and terrain. And a lot of places where they would cut a road through, you know, the hills, they'd build houses on other side, which meant they kind of had to dig in or blast away side of the hill to get the house to go there. So it was kind of built into the side of the hill, which provided some interesting scenarios, as I recall, when your house is literally smack dab into the side of a hill. You know, you can have situations to where, you know, when it rains, the rain comes down the hill and gets smack right dab into your house. And if your waterproofing isn't quite up to snuff, you know, again, your basement will flood and it will, you know, spawn all sorts of, you know, you're built into the side of the house. So there's a certain built-in, shall we say, capacity to have insect availability and so forth, which was not a problem while we lived there. But again, as memory serves, I believe the property stood open for, you know, unoccupied for an extended period of time, and fell into ruin. And, you know, last time I drove down that road, that house does not exist anymore. Which takes us to South 8th Street in Martins Ferry, which we lived in from, I want to say it was my 7th grade year, all the way up until I joined the Navy. It was a good house. It was literally a block or a half block away from my high school. My best friend lived, you know, I'd go out my front door, hang a left to the corner, hang a left there, and walk about a half block, and there was my friend's house. I was about 3 or 4 blocks away from the library, which is a place where, A, I spent a bunch of time, and B, a place I ended up, you know, having my job. I worked at the library, which was super convenient. You could walk downtown to get to anything. Like, it was nice. It was, you know, sort of centrally located in the town. The house itself, it was a duplex. We had one half of a duplex that we lived in. It was nice, you know. I shared a room with my brother. My sister shared a room, and then my parents had a room. It was a good place to grow up and live in. You know, obviously, eventually I moved out. You know, went to college, came back, and then went to the Navy. At some point, while I was in the Navy, my family moved. So this next house is not one that I can necessarily claim as my own, as I only, you know, stayed there for, you know, a couple of weeks here and there when I was on leave. But it's still the family house, and I, you know, even when I was in the Navy, I claimed my family home as my home address. So by extension, that was a place, and I'm going to consider it to be part of the list here. On Hanover Street, which is one of the shining exceptions to the all Todd's houses get destroyed rule. That place is still in existence. It's still standing. I'm not aware of any issues with it. It is rock solid. To return to the house on 8th Street, it at some point burnt to the ground. If you go to that section of South 8th Street, Martin's Ferry, it was a lot. I think they eventually built some sort of garage or storage structure on it now. But that house is no more. So there's that. Like I said, I went, you know, I joined the Navy and stayed, you know, in a variety of different bases, barracks and camps and whatnot, to which I can't vouch for the suitability of any of those structures any longer. I gotta assume that Great Lakes is still there and intact. I mean, those buildings that I stayed in for boot camp, you know, dated back to, you know, the height of World War II, for all I know, and should still be standing. I don't know that I'd call a place I lived for 2 months my home, so I don't really include that as part of the list, nor do I include, like, any of the other bases or barracks that I stayed in. I do know that the place, the camp where, you know, I spent many a month while we were deployed to Puerto Rico, sadly was ravaged by hurricanes on at least one occasion or more, so that may or may not still be around. I know that when we were in Okinawa, I was there for a typhoon, so whether or not those buildings are still standing or not, I can't speak to. I gotta assume that they are. They were kind of built with that stuff in mind. You know, I know that the home port, place where we were every 7 months, for 7 months, of Gulfport, Mississippi, they got roughed up pretty bad by Katrina. So, again, I can't say for certain the suitability of those barracks and whether or not they survived well or not, but if anything else in the Biloxi, Gulfport area is to go off of when Katrina hit, it seems iffy at best. All the places that I lived in Florida, best of my knowledge, are still good to go. And so, it kind of peters out and ends there, which I'm happy about. Like I said, I don't wish the destruction on any of my former homes. But it just seems like that was a trend there for a while. On an adjacent note, like I said, of the places where I went to school, there was the elementary school where I did K through 4. I don't know if that building still exists. I know that it's no longer being used as a K through 4. The middle school where I went to 5th grade, I from what folks tell me, is no longer in existence. The junior high, the other sort of, you know, it was a K through 7 school where I went to 7th grade, Elm Elementary, is leveled. There is a hill in Martin's Ferry where it once stood that has been just flattened, and there is now like a house on top of this hill, sort of away from everything else. It looks kind of weird because it was a, you know, 3-story K through 7 school that got leveled and replaced by like a ranch style home, which looks weird as heck, but that school's gone. The junior high where I went to 8th grade was for the longest time sitting empty and looked at every bit like it had vines growing all over it, graffiti, you know, the asphalt of the playground was torn up and cracked and weeds growing through it, the chain link was all disheveled and gross. We drove past there, just the other day, and I feel like there's some sort of business in there, but it is one of those things that is just looks like it just got kind of thrown up in the space, and you're not sure if it's actually a legit business or if it's just some sort of front. I don't know. And then the high school that was a block away from my house, where I spent all 4 years of high school, it too was leveled and is now just a giant grassy hill. And they have since built, you know, a K through 12 out in the sticks somewhere, which is where, you know, my niece goes. And I'm sure it was a very fine facility. I've just never seen it. But, you know, 50% or so of all of the schools that I attended are also no longer, you know, in existence or in use. You know, all things pass, I guess, and, you know, all told, I don't feel real bad about any of it. I mean, what do you do with the house you grew up in that is no longer, you know, owned by anyone in your family? Like, it'd be one thing if, you know, we had the house in Pleasant Grove, and, you know, I moved out, and, you know, the folks still live there, and I could go and see it, and walk the halls of the building, and, you know, take my kids in and say, hey, yeah, this used to be my room. That the structure no longer exists doesn't really impact the fact that even if it did stand, it's not like I could take the kids there and go like, hey, this is where I grew up. You know, you couldn't do that anyway. Somebody, if it's still there, somebody else would be living there. So, you know, it's a bit, you know, odd from a nostalgia standpoint. Like I said, I don't get too weepy about it. I have a lot of fond memories of those places. I just think it's, you know, moderately interesting that, you know, a lot of the places are no longer in existence. There was a point where I thought I must be cursed and have some sort of scorched earth left behind me sort of curse upon myself, but like I said, knock on center console, that doesn't seem to be the case for any of the more recent places that I've lived, and I hope that continues to be the case. And that's really all there is to that story, so we'll just kind of let that one go, move on to other things. So, thank you for joining me and listening to my tale of, no longer existing homes. A little trip down memory lane there. And I hope you all enjoyed that in one form or another. And until next time, I hope you have a good one.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.